What went wrong was that a political crisis within the leadership was not resolved. I think all of them need to take collective responsibility for what happened and stop pointing fingers at each other. And unfortunately, this took a violent turn, and even worse, it resorted to ethnic killings. That went wrong, but of course, we should have seen this avoided. Many efforts were made, including my own, but also many, many others. They didn't succeed, and unfortunately, the population of South Sudan and the country is now suffering the worst crisis in its history.
The mission had faced difficulties in its relationship with the government. Are there any lessons learned from this experience that might be useful for the UN and other countries?
I think the lessons we can learn is more about how you manage those tensions and how you retain your impartiality and not let yourself be intimidated or pressured in any way. That is the lesson you can learn from it. I think it's difficult to avoid and prevent these things from happening, although we can always hope that wisdom will prevail also in these situations. But I think the critical thing is that the United Nations need to stand by any special representative that is facing a situation like this. The Security Council, the same. The top leadership, the same. And it has to be a very strong message that we will not allow the United Nations to be pressured or intimidated in any way. And I felt I had that support here from New York. And I really want to appreciate also the way the Secretary General personally has been supportive, also coming to South Sudan on the 6th of May and made a big difference.
You've had a long relationship with Africa. What does your time as the UN envoy to South Sudan mean to you in that context?
Well, it's meant a lot, and I really have a very strong attachment to Sudan and South Sudan from way back through the negotiations on the CPA and prior to that, and also the South Sudanese population as such, who have suffered more than almost any others that I know, and who really didn't deserve to see their worst nightmares come again and haunt them. And so I will still keep my heart with them and with the region. I am born in East Africa. I will never leave East Africa. And in South Sudan and in Sudan, they usually say the following: if you have been drinking the waters of the Nile, you'll always return. And so I will do that in one way or the other. But of course, I will continue to work on issues related to the continent. That's for sure.
What advice would you have for your successor?
Well, I think the primary person to advise my successor would be the Secretary General himself and his team. And I would be careful at providing advice myself. I think the main thing is to really come to the country with an open mind. And I think beyond that, it's very important to stand on one's own two feet and make sure that you listen, you learn, but you're also firm in how to run the mission. And I think any other advice beyond what I hope to see, which is a tough person, I will leave to the Secretary General and his team.
What are you proudest of as a female special representative of the Secretary General, of whom there are few?
I think it's very important to be a woman in one of the larger peacekeeping operations, which includes also a significant military component, and show that we are able to take on those challenges on an equal footing as men and prove that we can. But more importantly for me is the results we can achieve. And in my case, the fact that when thousands of people during the night of 15-16 December flocked to our gates, in the morning we took the decision, and I took the decision, to open them and to give shelter and protection for civilians that were fleeing for their lives. For me, that is the most important achievement of this past 3 years as the SRSG in South Sudan. I think we are now in a very tough situation. We have more than 100,000 people in 9 of our bases. But I think without our efforts, one, the cycle of violence would probably have taken off unabatedly and would have had untold consequences with ethnic killings at much larger scale. I think secondly, we would have seen many thousand people be killed. And I think the fact that we opened our gates actually has saved very, very many thousand people's lives. That is something that belongs to the mandate we have been given by the Security Council, which is to protect civilians. It is also, for me, who also have a heart in the humanitarian world, heartening to know that we have been able to save many, many lives together with our humanitarian partners. There will be incredible challenges going forward with this decision, but it was the right one. It remains the right one, and we need to have the right response.